This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
U.S. Army Garrison Fort Hunter Liggett in southern Monterey County is on target to reach their goal of net zero energy resiliency for critical facilities by the year 2022 via a new microgrid. Hunter Liggett is on target to become the first U.S. Army installation capable of generating and distributing electricity off-grid for a minimum of 14 days. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me at Fort Hunter Liggett for a visit with Base Commander Colonel Charles Bell, Nicole Bulgarino, Executive Vice President for Federal Solutions at Ameresco, which is the project design-build firm that specializes in clean energy technologies, followed by a visit with Colonel James Handura, Commander and District Engineer with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Sacramento District. Colonel Charles Bell, it's a special day on base, isn't it?
Yeah. Hey, Tom, again, thanks for coming out and supporting our events. And, you know, today's event was pretty significant in that we cut the ribbon on our microgrid expansion project, $21 million project. Aside from the cost, it's going to help us achieve net zero. And by that, meaning we'll hit our energy resiliency goals by 2022. And so a really significant project. Really happy to go ahead and break ground on this project with all of our partners and really start heading towards our end state of energy resiliency.
It was surprising when I first learned that Department of Defense and the U.S. Army Reserve and the Army are environmentalists. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
It is. So the nice thing about our energy resiliency goals, you know, we're actually in a net zero pilot. I don't know if you knew that. In 2010, we entered a net zero pilot as an installation. So, however, we're focused on energy today. We have projects that are really focused on helping us conserve water, helping us properly dispose of and be conservative when it comes to wastewater and all of our waste, solid waste with Sierra Natural Gas. So several projects all focused on really reducing our footprint.
I seem to recall you have a cogeneration plant at some stage of development.
Right, yeah. So that cogeneration plant is the one that we had talked about that was a DOD-sponsored project with Sierra. And so they're continuing to test that technology and, you know, we're looking for applicability. And the neat thing about that is, although it's hosted here, all the other DOD installations have come down and looked at that project. And it's a model. And there's several other installations that really look at the use and really think it's going to be applicable to their installations. I think here, in terms of our ability to apply that technology, we don't generate enough waste. But in a place like Camp Pendleton, which actually just came down to look at it, there's enough of a waste stream there to really support that technology. But getting back to our microgrid, what our microgrid is going to do, so we have an existing microgrid. I don't know if you're aware of that. We have an existing microgrid on the installation, 3 megawatt battery capability. That's enough to provide load balancing technology when we have power outages. It really doesn't support the installation. It doesn't have the capability or the strength, if you will, to support the installation. This technology here in this microgrid expansion will provide us where we need to go to provide that resiliency.
100% net zero, right?
Correct. That's 100% net zero. And when we say 100% net zero, that's 14 days of resiliency. However, with solar, as long as you have sun, you have continuous resiliency as long as you have battery storage.
That being said, that means that you're pushing energy back into the grid and helping out King City, for example.
Yeah, exactly. And so it not only helps out King City, it helps out every other partner that gets their energy from PG&E. As we continue to improve our installation readiness, and that's really what this is all about, right? When we kind of follow the path of how we're supporting the installation, this is all about supporting installation readiness, making sure that our strategic support area is available for units to train.
So that being said, taking it one step further, a primary mission and for you is to make sure base stays online in the case of a cyber terrorism attack on PG&E, correct?
Correct. And so that's a good example, right, as we look at the pipeline on the East Coast and what happened there. So this will provide that capability and allow us to continue to operate if there were to be any interruption, regardless of what it is, to electric power from PG&E. Wildland fire, as we know, the power, you know, they shut the power down if there's a high risk. You know, we've seen it all in California. We know that. And so this will just provide us that extra safeguard while allowing us also to be good stewards and conserve energy as well.
Today, if there was a PG&E outage, would the base stay online power-wise?
So, Tom, we would stay online power-wise, but not because of an efficient power method. We have diesel power generators at all of our critical infrastructure that will provide that temporary power. From a carbon footprint perspective, not where we want to be. So we have some capability, but it's not to the breadth of capability that this new expansion is going to provide.
I really appreciate you taking the time to visit.
Anytime, Tom. Thanks for coming out. I look forward to your next visit.
It's been a pleasure. We've been speaking with Colonel Charles Bell at Fort Hunter Liggett in southern Monterey County. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Fort Hunter Liggett. Please join me as we visit with Nicole Bulgarina, and you're with?
Averesco.
And that is?
We are in Energy Solutions Company, Clean Technology Solutions.
Talk to us about the reason you're here on base today.
So we are here to celebrate this groundbreaking event with Fort Hunter Liggett after a long couple of years of engineering, great effort for design to install a fully integrated microgrid system for the base.
Primarily solar array?
This will include not only solar, but also a battery energy storage system and microgrid controls that will allow the system to be able to provide backup power on the event of utility loss or other instability.
So in a normal day, is it operational and feeding power into the base?
It is. The solar is, like the sun shining today, will be producing power for the base.
Uh-huh.
And the system's designed to optimize the energy output to have as much of the energy that's generated, that's consumed here on base, to be coming from the clean energy sources.
So it follows there might be times when you're pushing energy back into the grid?
That's correct. And then we'll are charging the battery so that later during the evening hours it could be used, or during a loss of utility it could be used.
And is this phase one of a big dream? Or
I think this is several phases later for the base itself, but for us and our partnership with them, this is the first phase with us.
Now we're sitting in an open field. There's nothing here.
There's nothing here. So there'll be solar panels.
When do you anticipate to start building out?
We should start mobilizing within the next month. We've been ordering equipment, working behind the scenes, and hopefully we'll have a quick less than year construction to get on in operation.
Talk to us about your company. You do primarily contract work with the military, or is it anybody?
Ameresco as a whole works with several different customer sets, whether it be the federal government, the local government. We also do a lot of work for hospitals, for universities, schools. We like to see ourselves as the energy experts and bringing these solutions, integrating them together to what makes sense for our customers.
But not so much a single family home people,
more
commercial.
On the commercial
larger
size,
scale,
certainly.
Yeah. And where are you located?
I represent our federal group, and we're headquarters in D.C.
And sourcing material, do you try and get stuff that's made in America?
Contractually obligated to make sure we're supporting Buy America. Mm-hmm. So that is we're very familiar with that, and we certainly stand behind that.
It makes sense.
Yeah, especially being with the federal government.
Yeah, federal funds, you know, you'd hope it looped back to American manufacturers.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
And
to support local installers as well.
Your headquarters?
Our headquarters of the company is in Framingham, Massachusetts. But we are all over. We actually have a large group in Canada as well and in the U.K.
And you're based on the West Coast?
No, myself, I'm back on the East Coast in D.C.
So you flew out for this?
I did fly out for this, for this special day.
And
also to do, it's been great because we're finally able to travel again and see different project sites. So made it a whirlwind of the week.
I know you'd have to have a pretty incredible brain trust on R&D. Tell us where we're going. Where is the future?
It's exciting because I think now the technology that's available, I mean, we're really going to be able to control energy and optimize it in a way that we've never been able to do before. And starting with integrating energy efficiencies within your homes and your buildings, and then matching that with energy generation together in a manner that really not only provides clean energy, but also hopefully less cost energy as well.
I think one of the most fascinating aspects of what we're talking about is the United States military, is the United States Army, and their dynamic momentum to become carbon neutral. And that's part of what's happening here, isn't it?
Absolutely. They've done several really neat projects here, and this is kind of, to me, one of their final steps to really standing behind the path to net zero. But also, more importantly, giving them that resiliency that they need for their vital training mission here.
Are you working with Camp San Luis Obispo or Camp Roberts?
We are looking at some projects at Camp Roberts, but we're not actively on those.
Okay.
But we've done several projects for the Army previously. We're just, again, you know, these are the exciting times when you finally see the ideas that got to paper and now are getting into the ground, and we'll look forward to seeing an operation, more importantly. So it's really fun to be a part of it.
Cool. And a moment on your life journey, how did you get involved in this world?
You know, I started out in engineering and wanted to do environmental from the start of my career, and fortunately I can say I'm doing exactly what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And it's never been more exciting time to be a part of the energy industry.
And where'd you go to school?
At the University of Tennessee.
In Knoxville?
In Knoxville.
I've been there.
Go Volunteers.
I know. Yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Good for you.
Yeah. To learn more.
To learn more, please reach out to our website at amoresco.com. And my name is Nicole Bulgarino. We'd certainly be glad to answer any questions, provide any information on this project, or certainly any other questions in the energy.
Nicole, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm Jim Hondur. I'm the Corps of Engineers, Sacramento District Commander.
Colonel, tell us what brought you here to base today.
We had a groundbreaking ceremony for a project that's going to allow Fort Hunter Liggett to reach net zero, which has really been an Army goal over the last 10 years. So we're here for that project.
How have you been involved leading up to today, to the project?
So my role as a district commander, I've got responsibility for over 1,140 employees over about 8 western states. I guess you would consider me as the senior executive. So I have my hands in all our projects and programs.
What's the breadth of programs?
We're what we call full service districts. So we have everything from civil works projects, flood control. We have military programs such as you're seeing today. We also do work for the Veterans Affairs and Department of Energy and other federal agencies, as well as environmental restoration projects. And also we do permitting, so Clean Water Act permitting, and we do emergency management services. So my understanding is this net zero is a goal that was set about approximately 10 years ago. And so for an installation like Fort Hunter Liggett to be able to get to a net zero is pretty special. And we're really proud to partner with them. And that's... As you probably know, that allows them basically to produce more energy than they use. That energy that they will produce is not only clean, but also renewable.
Also feeding back into the grid, right?
Absolutely. Conservation Investment Program. That's a special funding pot by the Army. We've done 7 of those projects.
So you work total umbrella breadth of Department of Defense. You might have a project under your umbrella at Vandenberg?
We do have projects in Vandenberg. In fact, our sister district, which is the Los Angeles district, works with Vandenberg a lot. Once again, the Corps of Engineers, we're real proud to partner with installations such as Fort Hunter Liggett to build it, to look at these net zero options and to provide energy resiliency and to do so using clean, renewable energies. And it allows the installation to balance their mission requirements, but also being good stewards of the environment.
Colonel Hondura, thank you so much for the time. This is great to meet you.
Yeah, good talking to you. Thank you, and have a good day.
You're welcome. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Fort Hunter Liggett in southern Monterey County.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and 2 of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon.
Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolf, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives. And Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust Preservation Initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.